Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 78 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyler, your host, and today I have a returning guest, Brett Burney, who first appeared on the show back on episode 23 when we talked about the ethical uses of a mobile device for an attorney. Brett's a good friend of mine who lectures and teaches all around the country on the use of electronic devices, mostly Apple products and software that runs on Apple devices, but not exclusively so. He's got his, you know, other foot pretty firmly in the Windows world and is conversant on and with those applications as well. So he's not as one-sided as I am. But anyway, today, I'm delighted to have him on board to talk about, among other things, a new course that he's developed called I Practice on an iPad. And the course is just exactly what the name implies: how to conduct your law practice using an iPad as your primary tool. Now, you don't have to be an iPad user exclusively to get something out of this episode because, frankly, to be honest with you, other tablets have similar, if not the same, kind of capability. So I think the things that Brett talks about will be equally applicable whether you use an Apple-based iPad product or one of the other, in my opinion, lesser products. But that's my editorial comment right there. Anyway, we're going to talk about all those things and more with my good friend, Brett Burney. Brett Burney, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
Oh, thank you, Neil. I'm just trying to continue to come back and beat Victor, who I think is three times the guest. Is that right?
Yeah, he's a three-time guest, and now you're putting some pressure on him as a repeat second timer.
I'm running behind, but I'm running hard.
Yeah, you know, for our listeners, Brett was on early in the game, and we talked about the ethical uses of your smartphone and digital technology as an attorney. And it's a fabulous topic, one that really needs to be addressed by attorneys. But the truth of the matter is both Brett and I and Victor and a whole bunch of others, we're Apple fanboys, or at least I identify myself as an Apple fanboy. Brett's a little more broad-minded than I am, but
I like to say Apple aficionado because okay. You know, it just sounds a little less geekier, I guess. But you and I know each other.
Completely comfortable in my fanboyism.
So that's good.
As we'll talk about a little later on in the show, Brett has a new online course coming out concerning the iPad, and I thought this would be a perfect opportunity to ask him all the questions about iPad and using an iPad as an attorney that I have struggled with, because even though I'm, you know, an Apple aficionado, I have my desktop Mac, I have my MacBook Air, I have my iPhone, I have my Apple Watch, I have an iPad, and I have the iPad Mini. That's the second one that I've owned.
Wow. Good. And an Apple Watch, right?
No, and an Apple Watch. Yep. But I have struggled to find a role and a place for my iPad. And by and large, it's been relegated to be my e-reader and the thing that sits in my lap while I watch the baseball game so I can follow all the stats. Because yeah. I'm a seam head as well. So tell me, when you started working with an iPad and kind of formulating this idea that maybe there's a course in the process. Did that come about organically, or did you make a concerted effort to try and integrate it into your workflow?
Well, great question. And I think I would say it's a little bit of both, Neil. But here's the thing. As much as I try to lift myself above the fandomness, I'm a nerd. I'm a geek, and I love the shiny objects, just like the next person, and just like you. And I've always appreciated and enjoyed sort of the mobile aspect from everything. I think one of my first PDAs, personal digital assistants, was the Cassiopeia when it was like Windows CE way back in the day, right? And it was great because it was just like this mobile device that I could carry around. We even had a very early version of Microsoft Word on it. And then I upgraded to the Palm Treo when that came out. I love that. I never really liked the BlackBerry so much, other than the fact that I was able to get into my email a lot. But I knew that these devices were going to just enable so much more. And I think looking back on that now, we've seen the evolution. And, you know, it just comes to mind that you've seen some of the newer headlines these days of you know, Apple's newest iPhone coming out, the iPhone 8. This is the 10th year, the 10th anniversary of the iPhone. And oh my goodness.
Next week, I think, right?
Supposedly, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what they say. But you know, I see these headlines about the fact it's going to cost $1,000 or more than $1,000. And I cringe a little bit at that. But then I stop and ponder, Neil, that what is the one computer that I use the most day in, day out? I mean, I have a MacBook Air. I got a Mac Mini. I have an iPad. But the thing I'm picking up most to do, not just phone calls, but checking the weather, checking the maps, checking my email, checking my calendar. I'm listening to podcasts on it. I'm listening to the radio. I'm watching TV and YouTube. I'm checking my task, my to-do list. So many things I'm doing constantly is what?
It's
the
phone.
iPhone. Like, yeah. And that's what we talked about even in our last time we were together, Neil, is that you got to think about this not as a phone first and it can do a few other things. It is a mini computer that, oh, by the way, can also make phone calls if you want to hit the phone app. The point is that there's so much that we're doing on these mobile devices and it's sort of come full circle. So I've always been fascinated by that and thrilled to see sort of the evolution of that. So to get back to your question, the iPad to me was sort of just that next evolution. I remember it was back in 2001 or 2003 when Microsoft came out with the tablet PC, if you remember that. Right. These were like laptop computers, but
without a hinge.
Well, some of them, you could turn the screen all the way around and put it, you know, and twist it around to lay it down onto the keyboard. Or some actually could even take the screen completely off the keyboard. Like, you know, this was way before the Surface and everything. And this is, the Surface is sort of the next generation of that. But when I started seeing that, I'm thinking to myself, that allows me then to do computing capabilities without having a whole big honking laptop. And I knew that was the direction we were going to go. And the iPad to me is one of the best evolutions of that idea, of that concept, if you will, right? I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum all over the place. You know, a 2-year-old and a 98-year-old can use the iPad just barely picking it up. It's just intuitive in the way that it was designed, obviously coming off of the iPhone. So in a sense, that's where that organicness came from, I guess, is that I knew there was no question this was going to be...
It was going to have a place.
Absolutely. No question. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with the place that you just discussed about it, Neil, that sitting in front of the TV, checking on things, or, you know, whether you're following, what is it, the MLB app, right? That has all kinds of stats and stuff that come up while you're watching the game. Or, you know, I see people using it to check on a movie on an app while they're watching the movie because they know when's the best time to, like, you know, pause it or what's going to happen. I mean, and people tweeting, you know, while they're watching something happening on TV. Nothing wrong with any of that, and surfing the web and the email. But it was a conscious decision, I would say, in the sense that I wanted to be able to use this personally and everything that I do from a more productive standpoint, in a professional sense is what I mean. In other words, I'm using it already to check email and I can reply to emails, but why couldn't I edit Word documents on the iPad, just like I edit it. I don't want to have to go all the way up to my office. I want to be able to pull that up. I want to be able to, wait a minute, before I leave the office to go to a meeting, I print off a dozen documents and stuff them all in a folder and, an accordion folder and put them in my briefcase. But wait a minute, if I'm printing that, those are digital documents. Why can't I just take a copy of all those documents on something like an iPad so that I have access to them when I get to the meeting rather than, let me pull this out and make my little piles and round in front of me. So I did make several conscious decisions from that standpoint, Neil, which is a good question, in the sense that I wanted to be able to integrate this more into my professional capability or taking notes. The fact that I had a stylus, I used to do this on the old Palm Trio and the Cassiopeia that I had. I would love to use the stylus to take little notes. Why couldn't I do that? Because when I took notes on paper, many times I'd get back to the office, scan the pieces of paper because I didn't want to have the paper, and I would save them as PDF files into the client file. So with the iPad, I can completely skip that whole middleman step. I just take notes in something like Notability or OneNote, something on the an app on the iPad, and I can immediately save it as a PDF into Dropbox or email it back to the client or something along those lines. So that was the conscious decision part, was like, I know that there are ways that I can use this a lot more into my professional activities day to day.
Well, I think in my case, one of the reasons why I haven't been able to integrate it as much as I would really like is I didn't spend a lot of time choosing which model to get. And so I feel like the original version of the iPad mini that I have now, it was underfunded. Didn't have enough oomph to it when I bought it, and it's even less so now. So I guess my question now would be, if we were going to make that conscious decision to integrate an iPad into our legal workflow, we've got, at least on the current market with the current versions that are available, we've got four choices. We've got the iPad Mini 4, which is the next generation. We've got the iPad itself.
The iPad nothing,
just, as it were.
Just the iPad, that's right.
And then the two iPad Pros, the 10.5 and
10.5 inch.
Whatever the other one is, the bigger one.
And the mega iPad, 12.9 inch iPad Pro.
Okay. So in the course of your journey here, have you made any decision or have come to any conclusion as to which is the better of these models for use by an attorney?
Yeah, I would say absolutely, except that my little caveat or disclaimer here, I always like to talk with the individual first. I like to get a flavor of exactly what they want to use it for, what is their current workflow, do they travel a lot, do they stay at the office, do they have access to Wi-Fi a lot, a lot of those kind of questions.
But so that certainly would influence it.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes, sir. But all of that aside, right now, as you and I are talking in September 2017.
Okay, I'm writing this down because this is good. This is on my Christmas list.
I would say the 10.5 inch iPad Pro is, to me, the middle of the line. Certainly, you're going to save some money if you go with the regular iPad, but you're not going to be able to use the pencil as much. It's not as powerful. And I know that most legal professionals that I talk with, Neil, they want to be able to They want the capacity that they need. And certainly, once we talk about the course and some of the things that you and I are going to talk about, the iPad Pro makes a lot more sense. And you're basically future-proofing your purchase, right? And just quick, as a quick aside, there's all kinds of headlines every year about, the iPad, hit its peak and now it's going down and, it's not going to rise anymore. But for example, just in the first quarter of 2017, they sold like 13 million iPads. That was before they even announced some of these new ones. So it goes up and down, but still, they're still selling a lot.
They're still selling them, yeah.
So it ain't going anywhere right now. It is a very, very healthy market, and we just kind of see it go up, and Apple follows all of that as well. So the iPad Pro, to me, is the next evolution. The original iPad introduced in it was announced in January 2010, if you can imagine. It's only been 7 years. It actually, Steve Jobs announced it in January 2010. It was released in April 2010. And that was the first iteration of the iPad. I mean, Steve Jobs famously sat on the stage in an easy chair and said, it's like having the internet in your hands because we could surf on it. You know, we have come so far since then, but that was a huge honking machine compared to today's standard.
I have two of them sitting right here.
Okay, so you know, it doesn't even have a camera on it.
No.
Right? I mean, that was the first iteration. But of course, we have improved. We went to the different generations of the iPad. We went to the Retina screen, which most people think of that's fun for games. But when you zoom in on a document on a Retina iPad, which all of them are today, is the Retina iPad, that is great, because we read documents all the time on the screen. So having that very pristine resolution is always important.
And if you're looking at things like crime scene photos or accident depictions or medical records, you need that Retina display. The crisper the image, the better you're able to use the product.
Yeah, when Steve Jobs announced that, the Retina display, which is really just their fancy marketing term for a high resolution, but he said the human eye could not tell the difference between the printed version of a document and the same document on the screen of the iPad. In other words, you're not going to be able to discern, you know, how it gets pixelated when you zoom in. Anyway, it to me, it makes the text sharper, because if we're reading stuff on the screen all the time, which we all are, that is very helpful.
All right. So the 10.5-inch iPad Pro is actually, you know, my unit of choice. I just helped a friend pick hers out. That's what she picked. And I've always said, buy the biggest one you can afford.
Right. Okay.
You know, get the 512 gigabyte if you can afford it, because you're always going to want more storage.
And this is true. And here's what I tell people on that, because I'm just a tiny bit different in this, Neil. And it depends on, again, the other factor is the budget you have, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, if you can get the full-on, top-of-the-line bad boy, then more power to you, and do it, because you are absolutely right. You're always going to want more storage. But I think I figured up a couple of years ago when I was giving some presentations, because I kept getting this question, a 32-gig iPad, which you can't even get in the iPad Pro anymore. It's too small. A 32-gig iPad could hold the equivalent of about, I think it was 610,000 documents, PDF documents. Like, that's how crazy it is. The biggest eaters of space are always video and audio and pictures. But if you and I are talking about the common PDF files and Word documents that we typically work around with, they're barely taking up any space on there.
Well, of course, but I need room for all my cat photos, well, all my kid videos, you know, all my daughter's dance recitals. Come on. I gotta have all that.
This is true. Because, you know, and I start laughing at that, but here's the thing. The cameras in these things are good enough now that you can use it as your primary camera. In fact, just Neil, I'll tell you from a professional standpoint, the thing that I love talking about using the iPad for is a portable document scanner. The camera is so good that I don't take a document back and make a copy. I'll just lay it down on a desk. I can take a quote picture with the iPad of the document, and I put it into apps like Scanner Pro or ScanBot, and I create a PDF out of it and OCR it right there. The camera is that good. So you're absolutely right. I mean, you can use it for a professional grade camera today. So yeah, you do need the big storage space. All
right, so as an attorney, once I get the 10.5-inch iPad Pro, am I getting the pencil? Am I getting the keyboard cover?
Yes. I would say yes to both.
So yes to both. Yeah,
exactly. Yes, sir. I do.
Gives you the most flexibility.
Absolutely. And now you can, again, the keyboard cover is what, another $150, I think, on top of the price. The Apple Pencil is another $100. But the flexibility is exactly what you just said, Neil, of having the ability to type notes or Word document or an email. You don't have to use it all the time. And the fact that once you start using the pencil, the iPad can be a full replacement for your yellow legal pad. Maybe not 100% of the time, but you can use the Apple Pencil to write right on the screen. It looks just like your regular handwriting, whether that's good or bad. And in some apps today, if your handwriting is passable, can even convert your handwriting into searchable text or convert it into editable text. So having that capability. Yes, there's other styluses that you can buy, but nothing can beat the Apple Pencil right now.
Right.
Yeah, one last consideration. I'm going to throw it because a lot of people ask me about this too. You can either get a Wi-Fi only, or you can get an iPad that has Wi-Fi plus a cellular connection. Now, I tell a lot of people today, again, all depends on budget. If budget isn't a big deal, get the cellular. That's another $150 usually you're going to add on to the price of it. But anywhere you go today, almost, you have access to a Wi-Fi signal. And in fact, I have an iPhone just like you. I use my iPhone as a hotspot. So if I need to connect my iPad to the internet, I'll fire up my hotspot on my iPhone. It's very secure and I can connect through there. However, if you're a lawyer that travels a lot, you don't want to have to take that extra step, then absolutely get the cellular enabled model. And what I would say is that if you're on Verizon, get a Verizon iPad, because you can add the iPad on as an extra device onto your already existing data plan. I think it's another $10 or $15 a month. So it'll use your existing data plan. If you're on AT&T, get an AT&T iPad. They can help you with all that at the Apple store. But that's the other one that people ask me about. After the size is, should I get the cellular? And again, to me, that mostly depends on, are you constantly using it to access the internet and you don't want to mess with, you know, you're not at home or at the office, you're out of the office, for example. And if it's an open Wi-Fi network like a Starbucks, sometimes I don't trust it, especially if I'm connecting and downloading some secure, you know, confidential documents. I'd trust the cellular connection more than I trust an open Starbucks Wi-Fi network or something. So that's the last question I get a lot.
I guess my response to that is, if you're taking your iPad somewhere that doesn't have Wi-Fi availability, you probably shouldn't have your iPad with you because you're out camping or something, and you should be looking at the lake. So,
I agree.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work you have to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that strengthens your practice and can save you hours each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and more cases without adding stress or chaos. With Daylight, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. No more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. And Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone on your team is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Getting a new website design can be a real pain point for attorneys. You're busy practicing law and running your firm, and the last thing you can afford is to waste time dealing with an incompetent design team that doesn't understand what you're trying to accomplish. So if you've been putting off that new website for your law firm, I get it. But what if I told you that getting a new website created for your law firm doesn't have to suck? My friends at Spotlight Branding pride themselves on their responsiveness, on great communication, and on delivering results for their clients. And unlike many law firm marketing companies out there, Spotlight Branding doesn't lock their clients into long-term contracts. In fact, they offer a no-risk, money-back guarantee on their work so you can have total peace of mind while you work with them. I trust the team at Spotlight Branding, as you know, to build and manage my website, as well as manage my social media strategy, my monthly email newsletter, and a whole lot more. I recommend them to solo and small firm attorneys every chance that I get. They're currently offering a special gift for our listeners, so visit spotlightbranding.com/TLE to learn more. Brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. So now I'm armed. I've got my 10.5-inch iPad Pro. I've got the keyboard cover and the Apple Pencil. And now I want to use it full-fledged on in my firm. I generally see the iPad falling into three different functional areas. And I'll tell you what they are and then ask you to comment on them. So one is using the iPad as your briefcase. We touched upon this just a little bit earlier. Your briefcase or the manila folder to hold your case files and your data. The other one would be as your legal pad, as your place to take notes. And that includes, and I want you to touch a little bit on this, taking notes or using it during depositions.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, as a presentation tool, either, you know, if you're speaking, or in some cases, people are actually now so comfortable with using the iPad, they're actually using it in trial.
Absolutely.
And so those are the three functional areas that I think of when I think of using the iPad as an attorney. What do you think about using your iPad as your briefcase?
Oh, I am 100% on that. In fact, that's where I will start with most people that I work with, whether they call me directly and they want to work one-on-one, or I have given hundreds of presentations, CLEs around the country on using the iPad and integrating it into your practice. And that's exactly where I start, Neil. Because here's the main reason. We deal with documents constantly every single day. You know, documents are sort of the lifeblood of what we do, right? They confirm what we do. They justify our work. I mean, we're dealing with documents constantly, whether it's a PDF, a Word document, a text file, anything along those lines, even spreadsheets and presentations, whatever the case may be. Everything we deal with today from a document standpoint is digital in nature. Every Word document, every PDF, save for your handwritten notes, maybe on a legal pad, or I guess if you still had some microfiche floating around or something else that you'd be using, I would dare say 99% of what we deal with every single day is digital in nature. So if you have a printed version of a document you created on your computer, then you printed it out. In other words, you've converted it from a digital format into a printed format. Now, I know there's many reasons why you would do that. It's easier to read. You can carry it with you, whatever the case may be. However, my thought is, and this is where that conscious decision to integrate the iPad into my professional capacity is, wait a minute, this is a digital document I already have stored on my computer or on my server or up in the cloud. I don't want to go through that step of printing it out and putting it into a binder or a folder of some kind. Why can't I just copy, instead of hitting print, why can't I hit copy the file over to my iPad? Then I'll pick the iPad up, use apps like PDF Expert and GoodReader or the Documents app from Readle, and I can organize these documents exactly the same way I'm already organizing them on the computer in folders, and I can rename them. I can make a copy of a file so that I can mark it up while I'm at a meeting, or what you were just talking about, like in a deposition. If you have a PDF of an exhibit or so, and you can mark little notes on the iPad rather than printing it out and marking it on the paper. Because once you create these notes on these files, it's now searchable for you, not necessarily always your handwriting, but you can search for the files that you need. You can bring them up. They're all right there, accessible. So you're not having to like, oh, I'm sorry, everybody, excuse me. I got to dig around in this banker's box, you know, for a couple of minutes and find this document. What was that document again? The fact that I can pull up a PDF, Neil, even if it's like 550 page PDF file, because I do this sometimes when we go to, you know, a conference and they put all your materials now on as a PDF. You download them and they'll charge you more to print them out. But a 550 page document, I can go in and search for a name or a word or a phrase, and bam, it's pulled up right there on my iPad. Now, I could do that if I had a laptop with me, but I got to set it all up and the screen's in the way. And the iPad is just so functional in a sense. It's like carrying a legal pad in your hands, but you have access to all the documents that you need. And frankly, in my course, I go through the idea of using a cloud service so that if you don't have it on your iPad before you leave the office, you can connect to the internet, go to a cloud service like Microsoft OneDrive or Dropbox or Box, and then you can find the document that you need. Or if somebody emails you the document, you can pull it up on your email, on your iPad, and move it over into one of these apps so that you can then organize it with all the other documents that you have. So obviously, I'm harping on that briefcase side quite a bit, but that's exactly where I start. In fact, the first module on my course is setting up your digital briefcase, everything you need to know before you can start carrying the files with you on the iPad. And I think of the iPad as my digital manila folder, like you said earlier. I carry everything that I need, and if it's not there, then I just can connect to my computer or a cloud service, and I can download the document that I need.
You know, I don't know if you... how much time you spend in the courthouse these days with all the various reaches of the Brett Birney empire that you control. But every once in a while, more often than not, you know, in the morning, I see these attorneys coming in, getting ready for trial. And they pull the van up to the front of the courthouse and they get the luggage loader and they put, like you said, three bankers' boxes worth of notes. And they have some young intern or associate with them that they take into the courtroom. And their sole function is to manage the documents. And I think, oh my God. Why isn't that on your iPad? And you could just search it, right? You don't need an associate to find the document or cross-reference and index every exhibit that's in your banker's box. To me, it's lunacy.
First of all, you must have read my webpage, ipracticeonanipad.com. I'll give that again. But I go through that story and I do that comparison. And here's one last thing I'm going to say, because I'm not anti-paper. I like paper. I think it has its place. And I fully realize there are some trials and situations where you do need to bring the banker's boxes in. But here's what I say, Neil, talking about the briefcase and the iPad. Everything in those banker's boxes are born as digital documents. In other words, everything in that banker's box has a digital file connected with it. The only reason it's in the banker's box is because you hit print. Now, if you've got to have the printed paper, I understand there's many situations, but why not also have a copy of the original digital documents on your iPad? It's not very much more to copy it onto your iPad. That's exactly what I go through in the course. Have a copy on your iPad. And I have seen this many, many times when I've been in courthouses, Neil, that I find, yes, the lawyer wants to have all the banker's boxes there just in case they need them, but I've got them on my iPad and I'm going to try it. And you can count on one hand the number of times they even go to the paper documents, because they're pulling it up on their iPad every time. I've even seen where the judge will say, why don't you just come up here and show it to me on your iPad screen? Because that's where the document is. So I hear exactly what you're saying. To me, that's a perfect place where people can start making a conscious decision to use the iPad effectively, integrated it into their practice. Just think of it as your digital briefcase, if you will.
And then the next step of graduating into, say, the middle school level of iPad usage, I think would be using it as your note-taking tool, your legal yellow pad.
Absolutely. And I would even dare say, Apple is realizing more and more that people are using the iPad this way, because with iOS 11 coming out, we're currently on iOS 10, but iOS 11 has been announced back in the summer and it should be out sometime this fall. We don't know exactly when, but Apple has always included a notes app on the iPad. When it first came out, it was just typing notes. It was very, very plain vanilla. Yep. You couldn't really do anything, but in iOS 10, they improved it. So you can now use the pencil to write on there a little bit more. And with iOS 11, they're even including more tools in this. In other words, it is looking more like a legal pad, if you will, to where you can go in, you can add lines in there, you can use the pencil, you can either type or you can handwrite. Before this, there are several other apps available for doing the same thing. One of my favorite has always been Notability, just like it sounds. In fact, I even have a template in Notability so that the background looks yellow with lines, blue lines on it, so that it looks just like my yellow legal pad. And I will just use my stylus or my Apple Pencil and I'll just start writing. Or in some cases, I will switch to typing. And it just depends on where I am and what the situation is. But I even use this when I go to a conference, for example, Neil, and somebody is showing, you know, some slides up in the front and, you know, I know they're going to get ready to go to the next slide. I'll lift my iPad quickly, snap a picture of the slide. It immediately pastes into my notes and then I can handwrite around that slide. Now, I know sometimes we get materials and all kinds of stuff, but I do that with documents. I do that with, here I'm talking about, you know, this app, for example, and then I take a picture of the screen or whatever the case may be. It's so much more flexible. Once you even handwrite, you can move your handwriting around. So if you want this section that you've just written to be in a different area, you can do that. And it's all searchable. And with Notability, for example, you can even record audio while you're taking notes, and it will synchronize the audio recording with your handwriting or your typing so that it's synchronized. So you can go back, you know, 2 years later and tap in the middle of your notes and say, what were we talking about when I wrote that down? And it'll start playing the audio from that point.
I first started using Notability in a deposition for just that reason.
There you go.
I would hit the record button, even though we have a court reporter who's recording, but I worked on a plaintiff's side. I wouldn't want to have to pay for that transcript if I didn't have to. So I would record it on using Notability. And the notes, as you say, are synchronized to the recording, which to me is just sheer brilliance.
It's really, you have to see it, I think. Yeah. Because every time I've done a presentation on this, Neil, people just sit there slack jawed because I'm playing it back. And even, again, you got to see this, but as you're playing it through, it'll sort of like ghost out the text. But as it comes to that part where you were writing, it'll fill in the text, whether you typed it or your hand wrote it. And so it really is just fascinating how it goes through, but it really keeps track of sort of an archive of your note taking, really.
And then I think finally the graduate level is using it as a using the iPad as a presentation tool.
Yeah.
I know Victor now runs all of his presentations from his iPad as opposed to running it off of his laptop. I see it more and more now where people are using the iPad as a presentation tool and even so much as using it in trial.
Absolutely. And I'll even go one step further. I go to so many firms now where they have a conference room just like anything else, but now they have a nice widescreen TV in there, you know, to show presentations on. And they still have an old projector and, you know, you've got the old VGA connector to hook it up. But most of these TVs today have and a little small Apple TV connected to it, right?
Or some type of wireless connector.
Or some connect. But here's what I see is that even the, you know, the managing partners or the group will come in with a client, and it's not just like a formal PowerPoint necessarily. They'll just pull up the document that they're talking about.
And just mirror it on the screen.
Exactly. Because before that, they would just have to print out 5 copies so that everybody could have their own copy and no one knows what page you're looking at or what section and, you know, can't remember where you are. Why go through that rigmarole when you can just pull up the document on your iPad sitting at the table on the TV and you can zoom into the exact section you want people to see? So you're doing an end run around all the confusion a lot of times. Now, obviously, yeah, the presentations from the keynote app and the PowerPoint app, those are fantastic. Just like Victor, that's all that I use today. I give full 6-hour presentations today on just using the iPad. I go back and forth. I've been using PowerPoint and Keynote. You can flip back and forth, and it works. It always works because I don't have to like do a function F5 or F8 or go into presentation mode. When I plug it in or jump onto the wireless, Neil, it works, and people just love that, obviously.
Well, listen, I know, Brett, that you've got to get out of here. You got other empires to conquer. We've talked a little bit about the course. Tell us just briefly what the course is about, how it came into being, and if our listeners want to take advantage of it, how they may go about doing so.
Oh, thanks, Neil. I appreciate that. And really, the course came about from exactly what you and I have just been talking about. You know, I've given hundreds of CLE presentations around the country, but you know what? An hour or 2 hours, I find, is never enough.
No, we're rushed here. I'm going to have you come back and talk about presentations for a third time.
Okay, good. Then I can beat Victor, hopefully. But it's like I find these CLEs, you know, there's always more questions and people are just hungry for this information. So I recorded about 3 hours of an online course, and it's called I Practice on an iPad. Get it? Little I, big P, I Practice on an iPad. And in this course, I'm focusing on file management and PDF annotation. So it's exactly what we just got through talking about. People would ask me, what are the details about which app should I use? There's 6 modules, setting up your digital briefcase. I'll talk about the apps, talk about how you can search and review your documents, how to sort and copy them and move them around and rename them. And then I go into the details about annotating PDFs. So you can highlight text, you can underline text, you can add text comment boxes, you can write notes in the margin of your PDF files. And then lastly, I wrap up with how do you get the files off of your iPad, either emailing them out or sending them up to Dropbox, that kind of a thing. Most of all the videos, there's 3 videos in each module. Most of them are under 10 minutes, but a few of them I went a little bit longer just because I had to pack everything in there. But in addition, just quickly, I talk about naming your files in the right way so that you can find what you need, storing I talk about the ethics of storing confidential information in the cloud. I talk about practical tips on using the iOS share menu. And what's great about it, since it's all online, you can pause and rewind. You can watch it right from your iPad. You can go back and jump to any section that you want to watch. So this was just a perfect platform for me to provide all this information for the folks that that kept asking me for this information. You know, I have the Apps in Law website as well, appsinlaw.com. I've been given free video reviews on that site, which has been great. People are loving that. I've also been doing podcasts, so that you were one of my first guests, Neil, which was great, talking about daylight on there. So this is just sort of, this was a natural evolution for me in being able to show people how you can actually and effectively and practically integrate the iPad into your practice with exactly what we've just been talking about, mostly on the briefcase side there.
Awesome. So if our listeners want to take advantage of it, they go to iPracticeOnAniPad.com.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mouthful, but right, you can follow along.
Yeah,
we'll have it. iPracticeOnAniPad.com. And I'll just say, I've got a code for the first 10 folks. Yes, sir. Absolutely. If you are one of the first 10 to sign up with this code, it's just for you guys, just for the listeners here of the Law Entrepreneur. It is $20 off. So the price of the full 6 modules, 3 hours is $197. But I'm going to give you $20 off if you use this code. It's 24TLE, 20FORTLE. So 24TLE, it's not case sensitive, doesn't matter. But if you go to iPracticeOnAniPad.com, you sign up for the course, you put in that coupon code 24TLE, all together, no spaces or anything, then you'll get $20 off of that. It's only for the first 10 folks that sign up for it. But I wanted to make sure I put that out there.
Well, that's very kind of you, but just to be sure, because I've written it down two different ways now. It's 24TLE or 204TLE?
No, I'm sorry. I know it's really confusing. It's 20 as in $20. 20. And then all letters, F-O-R.
Oh, all right. So I had three TLE. Cracks at it and I got it wrong. So 20FORTLE. Awesome.
Yes, sir. That's it. Yeah, 20 for the Law Entrepreneur podcast.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks ever so much, Brett, for being on with us again today. I look forward to checking out the course myself, and I wish you the best of luck with it, and I hope all of our listeners jump on that opportunity. Now get out of here. You got things to do.
Thanks, Neil. Always a pleasure, my friend. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days, and be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through the Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.